I've got demons running around in my head, and they feed on insecurities I have. Won't you lay your
hands
on my chest, that your ritual clean.
Obi-Wan is dying. His hold on consciousness is slipping. He is very tired. He's been awake for at least 3 days, he thinks, not counting the periods of hazy sedation and fitful meditation. He's in a tremendous amount of pain. He is cold, cold, cold. He did the calculations earlier, before his thought process became too compromised. A being of his size and species can survive for about 30 minutes with a punctured lung. He's in abysmal physical condition, so knock that down to 20 minutes. He'll be exerting himself, down to 15 minutes. 15 minutes, at best, from when he stops using the force to hold his ribs in place. It will have to be enough. He waits until the night, when the camp is quiet, and the only light in their tent is from a weak lamp hung on a hook. He tells himself he's waiting because the darkness will help conceal their escape. And it's true, but also, he's a little scared to die. He shouldn't be. He'll pass into the Force. He believes that. But he... Stars, he's such a bad Jedi. Qui-Gon would be so disappointed to know that some of Obi-Wan's last thoughts were fear of something he should accept. But perhaps Qui-Gon would think of his erstwhile, unwanted Padawan with grace sometimes, too, as Obi-Wan will have finally fulfilled his promise of sacrificing himself for others. That was the foundation of their partnership, after all. Assuming Jango bothers to get a message to the temple, of course, which does seem unlikely. Obi-Wan procrastinates a few moments further to study Jango. He can make out little beyond the Mandalorian's profile in the dim lighting, but it's enough. The man is attractive. Obi-Wan already knew that. Miles is, as well. They're older than Obi-Wan. Warriors. Leaders. Judging by the ease with which they navigate one another's personal space and exchange physical affection, they have been together for years. Obi-Wan cannot understand why the universe saw fit to make Obi-Wan their third soulmate. He is rather pitiful in comparison, but he is going to die, so he supposes the point is moot. Enough of this. He may be a poor excuse for a Jedi, and an even poorer excuse for a soulmate, but he will not put off his duty any longer. Jango. Jango lifts his head from where it's been resting against the cage bars.
Jedi?
Obi-Wan struggles to his feet.
It's time.
Jango's eyes narrow, catching the meager light.
For what?
Obi-Wan drops his hold on the Force. His ribs don't slip immediately. That will only happen when his movements become sharp, hurried. He crosses the short distance to the door of his cage as smoothly as he can manage, given that one of his knees is too swollen to bend properly, and the bare soles of his feet have been brutalized. He weaves a thread of the Force through the lock on his cage.
We're leaving.
The lock on Kenobi's cage snaps. Jango stares for a second, not understanding. That was Jedi magic. Not magic. The Force. But Kenobi'd said... The lock on Jango's cage snaps next. Jango shoves himself to standing and out of the cage, getting his first full breath in days once he's clear of the bars.
I thought you said you couldn't do two things with the Force at once.
I can't, Kenobi says. He walks gingerly to the tent flap. I believe we should be able to get you beyond the camp's boundaries without notice, if we are quick and quiet.
Okay.
Maybe the Jedi's ribs weren't broken after all, and he's feeling better. Jango joins him at the flap and peeks through. The camp is quiet and dark. A few lights on the perimeter mark the sentries, and deep shadows to the west confirm what Jango thought he saw on their way in.
We're near Crud Canyon. On foot, that's probably our best bet for avoiding recapture. Lots of caves and alcoves to hide in.
You'll need food. Supplies? Kenobi's right. Death Watch has been feeding them, but not much, and it's days to the nearest town,
Plus, wait, Django rounds on Kenobi. What do you mean I'll need food? And why'd you say we're getting me beyond the camp boundaries? You're coming. I am not, Kenobi says. Up close like this, he looks awful. He looked bad from a distance, too, but Django can now see the lividity of his bruises and the careful, careful way he's holding himself in detail. His broken arm is badly mangled, his knees a mess, his pupils aren't the same size. Some of the whip wounds on his back are infected. I'll only slow you down. I will position myself on the opposite edge of camp from where you escape and cause a distraction once they notice we're gone. If I am still, alive. If I am not, I can only hope that finding my body on that side of camp will lead them to believe you went that direction instead. Django blinks. You think I'm going to leave you here to die? The dying part is a rather foregone conclusion, my dear. I'm going to lose consciousness within the hour, by my estimate, and at some point my ribs will slip. I do apologize that I couldn't last longer, but at least this way, I can be useful to you in the end. Kenobi smiles at him, like this is a winning argument. Like Django's going to agree. Like, Kenobi reads something on Django's face and the smile drops. My apologies. My use of terms of endearment is my apologies. He thinks Django's pissed about the my dear. He thinks that's the problem. I am not leaving you here, Django says, only barely remembering to keep his voice down. You're my our. This is a Death Watch camp. I'm not leaving anyone in their hands, let alone a Jedi. Well, I can assure you, I won't be alive long enough to be used as a weapon against you. Kenobi promises. Although, I understand if you wish to kill me yourself, to eliminate that as a possibility. Truthfully, I was somewhat expecting you'd kill me the moment I opened the cages. It hadn't even crossed Django's mind. Killing the Jedi, killing this Jedi, stopped crossing Django's mind hours ago. And in circumstances like this, those hours feel more like weeks. He doesn't like Kenobi, obviously. He doesn't care for him. Like you said, you're useful at the moment, Django says gruffly, a feeling almost like regret poking at the back of his mind when he watches Kenobi accept this logic without question. Is this what all baby Jedi are like? The horror stories Kenobi's babbled over the past day must be unique to him, right? They can't all be this self-sacrificing. They can't all have absolutely no self-worth beyond usefulness to others. There's a sudden sound from outside the camp. Lights come on in the surrounding tents. There's yelling. People start running. Kenobi swears, low and multilingual and vicious, in a way Django was absolutely not expecting. He squeezes his eyes shut. Six beings, approaching from the north. Oh, that's Miles. Django's heart does something stupid. Miles is here. Miles. The Jedi's forehead creases. And that's younglings. There are younglings here. One of them is... His eyes shoot open. We have to help them. Django does some swearing of his own. Of course, this is one of the camps where Death Watch has stashed some of the kids they've stolen. He's not going to complain about the chance to rescue younglings. But it's going to be a damn sight harder to get out of here if they've got vulnerable Ade to protect, while the Jedi is actively dying, no less. Criff. He hopes Miles had the sense to bring Mij. They're going to need a medic. Take me to the kids, Django says. Death Watch has a shitty habit of using them as shields. Miles will know to meet us there. There are Ade in the camp. Miles's priorities rewrite themselves in a heartbeat. Children first, always. He turns from the path he's been cutting through the camp towards the central tent, almost always where Kirtzad keeps high-value prisoners, towards where Vontae says the kids are. There's fighting along the way. Miles makes an effort to keep it non-lethal, because someone in this camp dropped that hint in town about this being where they were taking Django. And because if they're wrong and Django isn't here, Miles is going to need a couple live bodies to extract information from. Non-lethal doesn't mean all limbs attach. It's a fine line. Miles is good like that. He hears Django before he sees him. His soulmate's battle cries as familiar as breathing. And when he sees him, well, Miles has always been turned on by watching Django fight, okay? That's not new. And coupled with the relief that he's alive?
You're insufferable,
Midge says, sweeping past Miles and slamming the butt of his rifle into someone's skull.
Just go get him.
Miles grins beneath his helmet and charges. It's a mess in the way that all close quarters fighting is a mess, but there aren't too many combatants, so Miles has it mapped out in his head soon enough. Django and Vontae are defending the tent that must hold the Ade. 4 Kirtzad are down, 6 remain. There are 22 total Death Watch in this camp, according to their scouting, and Miles and Midge took down 5 on their way over. That's 7 enemies left unaccounted for elsewhere in the camp. Miles's other 3 commandos may have already dealt with them, but Miles will keep his guard up. He battles his way to Django's side. Django knocks their heads together in a fierce Kaldabe kiss. They're going to have to find his helmet before they leave, and says, terse,
in the tent. The Jedi needs help.
It both settles and worries Miles. Their Jedi's alive, and Django's telling Miles to help him. So maybe there's some hope there. But if Obi-Wan's bad enough that Django is telling Miles to help him, maybe it's just because Obi-Wan is in with the Ade? Which is a bit of a head-scratcher on its own, really. Django trusting the Jedi with Ade. But Miles steps into the tent. Tiny fists immediately battle against his armor. No, Takeen, says a strained voice as Miles gently holds his small attacker at bay. He's one of the good ones. The little Syrian glares up at Miles, then looks sulkily over her shoulder to Obi-Wan. Magic? The Force, yes, Obi-Wan says. He offers Miles a pain-tight smile. He's standing, a babe bundled in one arm, a bloodied blade in the other. 2 other children, younger than Takeen, are hiding behind his legs. There are 2 Kirtzad, dead or unconscious, on the ground. Hello again, Miles. How's Django? How's Django? How's Django? Obi-Wan looks like he's about to keel over, and he's worried about Django.
Django's kicking, butt,
Miles says, adjusting his language in deference to little ears. Takeen retreats to Obi-Wan, checking on the other Ade. They're Syrian too, and all look alike. Biological siblings?
You need a medic.
Obi-Wan transfers the babe to Miles' arm. Not Syrian. Human, or near. Red hair, pale skin. Not dissimilar to Obi-Wan, actually. If you have a medic with you, they should check on the children. Takeen and her brothers are malnourished, and Cal... Obi-Wan breaks off. The babe opens his eyes, piercing green with a startling amount of focus for someone who can't be 6 months old. Cal. The tent flap opens again. Miles whirls, tucking Cal more securely into the crook of one elbow, ready to fight, and realizes belatedly that it's nearly quiet outside. Django and Midge enter the tent, both breathing hard but uninjured, from what Miles can see. Vontae sticks her head through the flap as well.
All Death Watch accounted for, best we can tell, but we'll do another sweep.
You must leave quickly, Obi-Wan says. The arm he was using to hold Cal earlier is now pressed tightly to his chest. It's broken, visibly. His ribs are broken, visibly.
Pre Vizsla was expected to arrive tonight, and he surely won't be alone. You can't linger.
You're the Jetty,
Midge says. He's still holding his rifle at the ready.
From the compound? You came in with Kree's.
Obi-Wan's eyes travel over Midge's weapons and battle stance, the med kit strapped to his back.
I am. You're the medic. See to the children, please. There, please.
Midge looks to Django. Django says, eyes on Obi-Wan.
Are any of the children worse off than you?
He can't get through a sentence without having to stop to breathe, and his chest isn't expanding correctly,
Midge says, blunt. Jango's stare drops to Obi-Wan's chest. Your lungs.
Obi-Wan inclines his head to the carrot-sad body is on the ground.
As I told you, a foregone conclusion. The children shouldn't have to watch, though. So,
Vante,
Jango shouts, moving quickly. He gathers the Syrian, hustles them towards the tent entrance.
Midge, he's got at least one punctured lung. Probably other organ damage, too, from the beatings. Broken ribs. Concussed. The lashes on his back are infected. Right arm's fractured. Left knee is carked.
The list of injuries make a cold pit open in Miles' stomach. If Obi-Wan's been fighting with a hole in his lung, Midge doesn't move just yet.
To be clear, you want me to help him. The Jedi. Sympathizer. With the new Mandalorians. He's our soulmate.
Miles croaks.
Midge, please. He's our soulmate, and he's dying.
That gets Midge moving. Miles tries to hand Cal off to Vante when she returns to take the Syrians away, but Obi-Wan calls out, panicked.
Wait, not Cal.
Miles turns back, heart thundering, bile rising in his throat. Obi-Wan is on his knees now, fending off Midge's hands, reaching for the babe. Miles goes to his knees, too.
He's Force-sensitive,
Obi-Wan says, voice thick and wet, causing every Mandalorian in the room to freeze.
Cal, he's Force-sensitive, and Stujani.
Miles looks down at the child. Those bright green eyes look back. Obi-Wan crawls forward unevenly, dragging the blade he used to defend children he doesn't know while bleeding into his chest cavity with him. He lifts the knife. Jango snarls. Miles hunches protectively over Cal. Kenobi reaches towards the back of his own head. He has to curl over against the pull on his torso. Midge makes a very displeased sound, working with trembling hands to produce a single braid from within the matted mess of his hair. The mark of a Jedi Padawan. He must have had it pinned up, somehow, when he was pretending to be a Mandalorian. He takes a shallow, wheezing breath and cuts the braid off at the root.
You have to take him to the Jedi,
Obi-Wan says, shaking all over. He pins the braid to the front of the babe's blanket.
If his family's still alive, or if you give him to a different Stujani clan, they'll be honor-bound to kill him. He must not have shown any external signs of being Force-sensitive yet, but he will. And then they'll drown him, just like my parents tried to do to me.
Criffing what?
I know you hate us, Obi-Wan says.
He's crying now as he presses a gentle hand to the babe's cheek. His ribs flutter horribly with each ragged inhale.
But he didn't ask for this. He's just a youngling. I take him myself, but I... Please, Miles, you can look up the comm codes. For the Jedi finders, there's an option to set off an anonymous drop-off. Or my master is here, on Mandalore.
The master, who only agreed to teach you after you offered to blow yourself up to help with a mission?
Jango says, voice dangerously even.
The master who abandoned you in not one, but two separate war zones, after taking your weapon from you both times.
Criffing what?
Yes, Master Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan says. He's with the majority of the new Mandalorians. The braid will. He'll know I sent you. He'll know it wasn't a trap. I understand that you don't owe me anything.
Miles is pretty sure he owes Obi-Wan Jango's life, actually.
And I would never want to impose. But Cal deserves to live. He deserves a chance to be happy and protected and with people who value him. Doesn't he?
Obi-Wan looks up at Miles, all shining eyes and bruised skin.
Jango interjects. You're not happy, or protected, or valued by your precious order.
Obi-Wan flinches, hard. Midge, running a scanner over Obi-Wan's back, hisses.
Jango.
Miles barks. He's not surprised by the harsh words, not really. Jango can be a harsh, unyielding man. But using them to cut down a being, their soulmate, which is so obviously hurting.
Check his skin. It's not a lie, Django says, voice still hard, but looking a touch guilty.
The things he's told me about how they treat him, Miles. The way he talks about himself.
They'll do better with Cal, Obi-Wan says, desperate. He'll be, I'm a bad Jedi. Always have been. Too passionate. Too headstrong. Too inclined to violence. But Cal will be.
I sedate him now or he dies.
Midge interrupts.
Do it, Django orders. Midge does it.
Obi-Wan slumps forward. Midge gets him straightened out on the ground and goes to work.
Is he going to live?
Django asks after a long, long moment. Midge shoves a tube into an incision he made between Obi-Wan's ribs. Blood spills out of it.
I don't know. He'll live.
Miles decides, heart in his throat.
He has to. Passionate. Headstrong. Inclined to violence.
Mando Carla. I know. Believe me, I know.
Django sighs. He sits on the ground, next to Miles. He reaches over and adjusts Cal's blanket, careful not to disturb the braid.
Think this one is the same?
Cal grasps one of Django's fingers, brings it to his mouth, and sets about trying to gum Django's skin off.
Seems likely,
Miles says, and settles in to wait. Let Pre-Vizsla come, if he dares. Miles and Django have a soulmate to safeguard,